broadcasting live from the West End Waltham in Boston, Massachusetts, for Vistage Executive Summit 2015. It's CEO exclusive. Now, here's your host, Soyini Koch.
And I'm delighted to welcome my guest co-host, Greg Michaels, who is a regional consultant with Vistage, with
Thank
me
you.
This morning. Greg, it's so awesome to have you here. And our guest in this segment is Michael Tomasi with AccuRounds. And Michael, would you start off by telling us a little bit about what AccuRounds does?
Sure. AccuRounds is an advanced manufacturing company providing precision machining services for a variety of industries, medical, defense, aerospace, semiconductor, oil, gas. We provide shafts, pins, valves, and assemblies to those industries that then make up components and mainly to OEMs, very high-end tight tolerance type work.
So tell me what advanced manufacturing is.
Advanced manufacturing, kind of the buzzword, I guess, in our industry. Advanced, and my definition is progressive. Our tagline is accuracy on the cutting edge. So we're kind of trying to push the envelope and be a leading company in our industry, whether it's the culture that we promote, whether it's the continuous improvement activity, the training that we provide, and the work that we do. So for a machining standpoint, you know, we consider ourselves doing advanced type work, and it's a pretty general term, but I think anybody in manufacturing these days kind of call themselves advanced manufacturers.
What are the trends in manufacturing that you think other middle market CEOs should know about?
Well, there's been a bit of a manufacturing renaissance happening in this country the last couple of years, and we've gotten more positive press, I think, in the last two or three years we had in the prior 25 years. I think for a long time, and still to a certain extent, there's a perception that manufacturing is leaving this country, when in fact, the reality is it's coming back. The competitive nature of our country and the advanced work that we do is now coming into balance when you look at total cost of ownership. So for example, when you look at Asia, the cost of living has risen dramatically in the last 5 years. So when you look at landed cost, the cost to ship parts here, the cost, the carry cost of inventory, the cash outlay, when you add all that up, when you look at a piece price that might be less expensive, by the time it hits the shores here, it's actually more expensive.
And I have to ask this question, but describe to me the advent of robots in this area in the advanced manufacturing. The early studies have said that there are ways that humans and robots can work together. Have you looked into any of those trends?
Yes, we have. We actually do not have any robotic activity in our plant, but ironically, we have several customers that do works in robotics that make robots. Whether it's Amazon, who has kind of unattended warehousing that's driven by robots, iRobot, we make a few components for their space applications. So the way I look at robotics is it's up and coming. It's going to play a part in our industry for sure. It's going to replace certain jobs, but it's also going to create jobs as well. We need people to program jobs, make robots, service robots. So it's a shift in where the workforce is going to be looked to come from.
When you think about, you talk about the renaissance of manufacturing, where are the jobs and where's the manufacturing coming back from? Is it Asia? Is it Mexico? Like, where is it coming back from?
Primarily Asia, and a little bit from Europe. We've actually seen experiences where our customers have reshored work to us from both of those locations. So what we're seeing from that is the need to promote manufacturing as a viable industry. If you look at average salaries, it's one of the higher paying industries in the country, and workforce development. We don't have enough people doing CNC machining, for example, or quality technicians, or process engineering. Those types of roles are just very hard to come by any experience in the field. So we, in fact, are turning away work right now because we can't find the people fast enough to do the work.
And what kinds of folks do you have? Are you looking for? Because typically, and you know, forgive me for stereotyping and being ignorant, you know, manufacturing isn't necessarily thought of as the kind of highest, you know, et cetera,
yeah,
et cetera job.
It has the stigma of being, you know, dark, dirty, grungy, right?
Right.
But in fact, those factories are long gone. We have a state-of-the-art facility It's air conditioned. It's well lit. We have computerized machines that are state of the art. We provide great benefits. So the environment is totally different than what the perception is. So we look to give tours all day, every day, all week, all year to show what we do, to hopefully create that interest that will generate people in our industry. So we're looking for critical thinkers and problem solvers. It could be Voc-Tech students that want to graduate high school and get into the workforce, and then maybe have some furthering education at a community college. We're looking for engineering graduates from college to come in and start anew and learn a new way to do things. So, and hopefully add some of their, you know, some of the youth that, you know, I'm 54, the 25-year-olds do things differently. They think differently with technology that they've grown up with. So we're looking to inject some of that youth into our company to hopefully make us more progressive than we are.
You're talking about high level, you know, relatively high caliber employees. And so tell us a little bit, maybe a couple of bullet points on the culture of your company. What's it like to work for your company, work for you?
Well, we're very, very particular when we go to hire people. We look at three different things. We look at continuous improvements, their skill set, and behaviors. When we talk about behaviors, to me, that's what's most important. We have a doctrine in our company called the Path to Perfection, and it's made up of a bunch of components, but most importantly, our core values. We have five core values: gratitude, excellence, team first, initiative, and trust. Under each of those values, we have kind of behaviors bullets that describe the type of individual that we're looking for, and it may not be for everybody, but for us to do what we need to do on a daily basis, we need people to understand that, behave that way, and if we can put a team together and assemble a team that understands that, we can do great things.
And to your leadership style, how would you describe that?
Hands off. So we've transitioned the last couple of years from what I would call a leader follower model to a leader leader model. We have flattened our organization, actually gotten rid of some middle management, even upper management, and tried to provide everybody in the company with the facts and data that they need to make decisions real time. So there's a high level of engagement, higher than we've ever had, where there's constant interaction on looking at processes or machining techniques and how can we take this and make it better? How can we improve? Because our customers don't want to pay us more money for product. They want to pay us less. And in order for us to do that, we have to continuously improve. So it's a very dynamic, a fast-paced, interesting, something new every day environment that's challenging.
And as you talk about this process of being willing to flatten the organization, give away control, you're the president and CEO, and I think when we spoke before, you're also the founder of the company.
Second generation. Okay. My dad founded the company, yes.
Tell us about that successorship and that kind of pathway to building successful successorship.
Well, for me, it's education. I mean, Vistage, I've been a Vistage member for 3 years, and that certainly played a part in networking with my my group. We have a great group. I've learned a lot, and I've been able to contribute, and you grow from those experiences. I participate in many local and national associations and meetings, and just try to grab as much on team building and coaching and kind of the future workforce and what the millennials require, and then, you know, try things. I mean, we're not successful at everything we do. If we fail, that's fine. We want to learn from failures. What we don't want to do is make mistakes. And we call mistakes failures repeated. So, you know, you continue to learn. It's new. It's new ground for me. It's not a control thing. I'm not looking to micromanage. I never was that type of leader. What I like to do is bring on people that are smarter than me, that know their roles and can grow and are willing to learn and try new things and adapt and change and coach people up.
You mentioned a couple of, places where, we could have done that better. So what's the toughest part of your job? With the exception of it being the whole thing, what is a couple of pieces that are really challenging?
My number one job is to provide opportunity for the people that work for me. So the most challenging thing for me, because I'm involved in so many things, is to make sure I stay focused and provide the time that everybody in the company needs from me. And it could simply be walking around and talking about how their weekend was or, you know, what's going on at the machine if they want to talk about that. I try not to go out there and tell people what to do. Maybe 10 years ago, I did that a little bit. But I can't. Everybody in the company knows more about what they're doing than I do. Yeah, I got a general sense of what's happening. But from a detail micro level, you know, I really rely on them. And if they want to engage and discuss and talk, that's great. So making sure that I devote the time in the right places at the right time. And whenever I'm in the shop, and I travel a fair amount, but whenever I'm on site, I make it a point to walk the floor and interact with everybody in the company.
What are you looking for in the forward to in the next 5 years for AccuRounds?
So we just recently expanded our facility. We added 18,000 square feet. We're now in 45,000 square feet. We took a big leap, but we realized that this renaissance was happening. We had a huge opportunity. So my hope is that we can take the opportunity that we're now turning away and bring it in and continue to grow at a fairly reasonable rate. I don't want explosive growth because in our industry that could be very damaging if you don't have the people to attract. So I want to create an environment that we are the absolute best company in the world at what we do from an execution standpoint. And we have a lot of work to do to get there. But, you know, we talk every day. We have a strategic planning meeting tomorrow. And we'll set the stage for next year and attack the certain tactics that we need to get after to start to make that happen over the next 5 years. We tripled revenue, doubled employment, and got rid of more than 50% of our customers in a 10-year time frame. And we hope to at least do that in the next 10 years and maybe even in the next five.
Wow. And so we just talked a little bit about successorship. What are you thinking about in terms of successorship? To make sure that your legacy and all this great work is preserved and move forward?
Well, I have three kids. Two of them are in the workforce, not at my company, and the one is still in college. That's an option, although you know, that may not be the best option. They're not interested right now, and maybe they won't be, and that's fine. So I'm always looking for leaders, you know, to bring into the company and groom and learn, and I don't have any plans to retire anytime soon, so I think that's certainly not going to happen in the next 5 years for me. Lord willing. So, you know, I want to set the company up so it can sustain itself without me. Mm-hmm. You know, I want AccuRounds to go to be a 100-year plus company. It's next year is our 40th anniversary. We have a little celebration for that. That's pretty
exciting.
Congratulations. Thank you. So we definitely wanted to go on for another 40 and more.
And as for today, what are a couple of questions that you have for yourself or a couple of answers that you're seeking from giving the content?
Well, as I mentioned, you attend these events to learn, right? And, you know, the economist that we have speaking today is fantastic. I've heard him many times, and he kind of gives a very macro long-term look, and maybe you could shift your strategic planning one way or another. But to me, the best thing about coming to any type of conference or seminars is networking. You know, meeting people, whether it's like-minded people, different-minded people, same industry, different industry. It really is creating a network that you can someday tap, you know, or provide some information to them. So it's sharing what I know. I've been around for 30-plus years in this industry and have some things to share, but I tell everybody it seems like it's a new day every day and there's a ton of stuff to learn. So I'm very excited to be here.
Well, thank you so much for taking a few of your precious moments and spending them with us on the air. Thank you so much. We loved having you on the show.
Thank you very much, Jeannie and Greg. Appreciate it.
This show is brought to you by Annona Enterprises, where strategy is your access to money and performance. Learn more at annonaenterprises.com.